My name is Teresa Gillespie, and today is April 20th, 2009. And the person I am interviewing is James Cook, and we are in the Gainsborough Public Library. Where and when were you born?
I was born September the 28th, 1951, in Roanoke, Virginia, at the Old Borough Hospital.
How long have you lived in Roanoke, and what streets and neighborhoods did you live in?
Have lived in Roanoke for 55 years, in the Hurd Park neighborhood, on Salem Avenue.
Tell me a little bit about your parents and brothers and sisters. Did you have extended family members living nearby?
Yes, my parents were both deceased. I'm James III. My dad was James Jr., and my mother's name was Lovey. And I have one brother. His name is Michael. And we've lived, like I said, we've lived there. They moved there in 1950 as to keep house. And then I was born the next year. My parents' family, my mother's family, migrated from here to here, rather. From North Carolina in the early 20s, and my dad's parents also moved from North Carolina in the early, well, I think dad's was like the early 1900s.
Once you moved here, and describe your type of house that you lived in and that you've grown up in.
Okay, I grew up in a two-story frame house with a carport. I always thought it was the biggest house on the block, but it was wood, and they would later added siding with lots of windows.
What kind of activities would you participate in as far as community life and home life?
Back then. Okay. Growing up on Salem Avenue as a child, we didn't have too much in the early 50s, but we had a lot of children in the neighborhood, and we would play with each other. And we did have a field across the street from us where we probably played football, basketball, whatever you name it. And we visited each other. Especially during the holidays. And I do remember my home was the first home in the on the block to have a television, because that was black and white back in those days, and you added a color screen on top of it to make you know, like you had color TV. But people would come, like especially on Sundays, and we'd sit in our living room, and mom would fix some snacks or whatever like that, and we all sit there and watch the Ed Sullivan Show. So that was basically the main activity in that time.
What kind of work did your family do?
My dad worked at the VA hospital. He was a nurse's assistant until he retired. And my mom was a hairdresser. She was a hair, as they call it then. She had her own shop upstairs in the house, and she did that over like 50 years. People from all over the neighborhood. I practically knew everybody in the neighborhood because they came and got their hair done.
So would your house end up being a social gathering place as well?
Well, it seemed like that. Yeah, like I said, people would come, and with the tons of children that were in the neighborhood, we would go to each other's homes, but our house was like one of the main homes on the block.
Talk about your school life. For instance, where did you attend school? Did you walk to school? Were you ever allowed to stay home from school?
I attended the school. Well, I first attended Loudoun Elementary School, which has been torn down. It was on Loudoun Avenue in Northwest until they built us a school in the Hurd Park area, and that's presently standing. It's called the Hurd Park Elementary School. My class was the first class to graduate, and once we got a school in our neighborhood, we did walk to school, and but before I would have, well, catch the bus, and we would bus to Loudoun, and but after that, it was pretty much walking down the street to the neighborhood school.
How much schooling did you complete?
I've had 2 years of college. Yes, 2 years of college in the Tennessee area, with a little town called Morristown College. And of course, I had the high school. I graduated from Jefferson Senior High School, which is on, was on Campbell Avenue. So, and then I did attend Virginia Western for some courses and some other courses through my job.
Did anyone else in your family attend college?
My brother, he went to a firm for a while, and then he went to the Army, and then he did some extensive courses in Strayer University while when he was living in Woodbridge, Virginia. Now he's living in Raleigh.
Did you and your family tend to sit on your porch in the evenings at home? Or was your front yard a gathering place as far as with the rest of the community?
Both. Yeah, we had a large front porch somewhere where I know both my parents always enjoyed sitting out on the porch. My mom would get up early in the morning, do whatever she had to do, and sit out there and drink a cup of coffee. And being young, that's where I had to sort of was limited for playing. I did, you know, we did go in the yard a couple, you know, several times because children would come. But nothing beyond that unless she gave permission. So once I got into teenage life, you know, I could stray away a little bit, you know, but being younger, couldn't go no further than the porch or the front yard.
In that sense, do you think the mothers were really engaged in the community because they sat out front a lot and were able to watch a lot of what was going on?
Well, yeah, as I said before, my mom was a hairdresser, and but it seemed like she had a close eye to see where I was, and mothers back that time did particularly watch. Well, matter of fact, everybody watched. You know, I don't think anybody was able to. Some, you know, children may run away or things like that because they would tell on us, so we couldn't get around being away too far.
What types of chores did you do around the house or in the neighborhood?
Oh, goodness. Well, I helped clean the house. That's why I'm proud of my upbringing, because now I know how to do these things. But I was taught how to clean, to keep the house clean, do some yard work. And every summer we would can, because like my parents were from the country. And back then we didn't have air conditioning, so it was hot during the summertime. But I was taught that, and also my family was not what you call big, but my grandparents, aunts and uncles and things like that, especially the women of the family, they were very good cooks. So they taught me how to cook some real nice dishes. So I'm grateful for my upbringing.
So as far as meals, would the neighborhood take part in these types of meals with your family, or?
Well, as a family, in individual families that lived in the neighborhood, you know, they all had meal times, breakfast, and if you had to be at home, or the husband would come home from work for lunch, but mainly breakfasts and dinners, and that was like more family styles. Families would sit down together and eat and discuss things, and you know, that's how they knew a lot. But we would sometimes have relatives over for the holidays, and big breakfasts and big dinners and things like that. And occasionally the children would come by, especially without playing. You know, mom would fix some sandwiches and something to drink. So it was something going on all the time, as far as eating.
What were some of the family stories that had been passed down to you?
Oh, lots and lots and lots. Oh, I think my dad, who loved his family, especially, I think he had shared with me back five generations of our family history. And because my mom's family, they were, I think I can go back as far as four generations with hers. As I said, they were all from Carolina. And before my dad died, we both researched some history of finding out family that was from the in the Withville area. It's counties up there, and even now a lot of them are gone, but even now I have some documentation of family history. Matter of fact, my cousin out of California has done some extensive research on our family background, and we email each other back and forth like that. So I've got a pretty good knowledge of family history, and we got family reached from all over the United States. So we have a pretty big family. As I said, a lot of them have died, but from their children and grandchildren like that, we did get together to have family reunions, but that sort of died down. But we try to keep in touch as much as we can.
Are there any particular stories about your family that you think about when you think about Roanoke or the Hurt Park area?
Just how we were. We died as they migrated here because of the Norfolk and Western Railroad. When they heard about those jobs in Carolina, they moved here to have a better life, because they were all raised on the farm. You know, they got tired of farm life, so they moved here to get better jobs. And some things that happened in the Hurt Park area, they were amazed how the school came about. A group of people got together, saw the need to have a school, so they were proud of that. And basically, you know, just what happened in the community, just certain events would happen in the, you know, as far as church, school, job, they would share those stories.
Did you want to share something else?
No. Yeah.
Did you, a spouse, or any family at all serve in the military?
My dad served. He was a staff sergeant for 5 years in the Army. And my brother was in the Army, I think, for 3 years. Yeah, he didn't go overseas or anything like that, but he just, you know, served.
So what wars were they?
Dad was with World War II. And because my brother was at the time when Iraq, we first went to Iraq, and thank goodness he didn't have to go, but but he had some experience in the training, you know, of the Army, things like that. he and me, before Dad died, he shared some. They got together and shared Army stories. So, you know, they had, that's what they, one of the things they had in common. But I didn't want to hear that, but you know, but they did.
What types of businesses and shops would your family frequently visit?
Back then, Northwest Hardware. Back then, we had several community stores, and of course, that's sort of like a thing in the past. In our area, in the Hurd Park area, even back then, up until now, it's very limited because we have to go out of our neighborhood to really get things that we need, find a drugstore, dry cleaners, and things like that, and major grocery stores. So it's an advantage to have a car or at least ride the bus, or some people have to take a cab because that's one of our handicaps. And hopefully we'll work on that to get that better for us.
What's your fondest childhood memory? For example, holidays or vacations or any gifts?
Okay. I think Christmas time was my favorite time of the year. Of course, you know, the decorations and as I said, we would have people over for the holiday, mom and grandparents, and aunts and uncles, cousins, they would come over, and of course, you know, the ladies would cook, and we would just come together and just share joy, and one of the things I had to do, I'm a musician, and I've been playing the piano since I'm 5 years old, so. Every Christmas, I had to play a song for my uncle. He always loved Silent Night, so I had to do that. Of course, at the time, I didn't, you know, particularly care. But as you look back, you know, you see what kind of joy that brought him. But I guess one of my favorite gifts that I can remember getting was my first bicycle. I don't think they even make that anymore. But it was my first bicycle, and I learned how to ride the bicycle. And I think that was given by my grandparents. I always felt like I had the best grandparents in the world, and they were the richest grandparents in the world because they could give me things and things like, you know, I enjoyed. But Christmas time was, and still is, my favorite time of the year. Of course, as I say, everybody is deceased now, but I have a chance to go last year to spend Christmas with my brother in Raleigh. So we had a great time together. So,
what kind of work have you done throughout your life?
Well, as I said before, I'm presently a musician, a minister of music for a church here in Roanoke. I've been a Head Start teacher, which I thoroughly enjoyed. I have worked at Sears Telecatalog when that was in business, you know, taking orders over the phone. I owned my own business. At one point, that was called Crowns and Jewels. It was a retail business specializing in designer hats and jewelry and little things that ladies like. I felt like I was successful in that because it's something I enjoyed. But when both my parents got sick at the time, I had to sort of give that up to take care of them, which I always say that was rewarding more than having anything like that. So now I'm presently working back at TAP as an intake outreach specialist for for the Hurd Park area, where they're currently going to be revitalizing the neighborhood, building new homes, refurbishing some homes. So I'm back in the workforce.
Throughout your life, did you use the public library very often?
Not as much as I did in my later part of year of life. First, you know, we in younger years did it because I had to get book reports out and homework. But in my latter years, more of, you know, get into the age of the internet and checking out movies. And books, you know, like reference books, things I needed for a job or some personal things I wanted to find out. And just a little break time to just get away and just to read, maybe read the news, carrying newspapers that they offer. So, as I said, more in my latter years, I'm using coming to the library more.
Describe cultural events that have happened in Roanoke, like entertainers that have come, sports games, movies.
I remember when the Jackson 5 first came to Roanoke. Tickets were $10 back then. And I think I went to Virginia Tech to see, they were called then LaBelle. It was Patti LaBelle and her group. And of course, we used to have different rock groups to come. You know, passing through like the Temptations. And then tickets were $3. Wow. You know, but, and then some culture events like, Symphony the Orchestra would do a concert. I've seen the Alvin Ailey dancers. They've been here. James Cleveland, who was a gospel artist, he's deceased now, came and did a concert. Several gospel artists have been here. Sports event, the classic games. That used to be at the Virginia Stadium, and a few basketball games had the privilege of going and seeing. So, and plays that have been at the Civic Center, stage plays, and trying to think, and some at Jefferson Center. So, try to catch as many as I can.
How has Roanoke changed over the years?
Over the 50 years, Roanoke has changed. Not as much as I would like to see it change. And I think, I always say Roanoke has great potential, but we've got to, I guess, have a vision for things as being one of the main areas of the Southwest Virginia area. To draw more people in. I think we have some beautiful homes in the area. Of course, my friends from college, whenever they would come to visit, they love the mountains. So there's been some changes. I hated to see the railroad go away, and I keep my fingers crossed. I'm hoping they'll bring that back because it's a little difficult for people to get to Covington or Lynchburg, you know, to catch a train. But there's been some changes downtown. Of course, you know, we have several malls, which wasn't, you know, down back in my time, as I say, our mall was downtown. Downtown was flourishing back in the 50s and had a lot of nice department stores, which have gone out of business now. But There's been some great changes, far as new construction in surrounding areas of Roanoke. As I said, I'm hoping we'll get some improvements as far as our transportation, and we want to do some bus shelters in our area that would help people when they catch buses. You know, they don't have to be out in the rain or snow or cold. Got that idea from going to some conferences for concerning neighborhoods, and so we're going to be working on that also. So just looking for some greater changes in the area.
Are any of your favorite smaller businesses from when you were growing up still around?
Oh, not presently in my community. They've all gone. Can't think right now. Yeah, as I said earlier, a lot of our smaller businesses, back when I was growing up, were flourishing, but a lot of it's because of death, and their families have moved away and just ceased the business. One of the, I guess you can call it, smaller downtown, it used to be called Lazarus. It was a department store, and a lot of ladies would frequently visit that because they had a lot of nice clothing and furs and hats and all kinds of stuff like that. That I think they went in business for 100 years, and they went out of business. And but our we still have a landmark in the Hurd Park area. It's called Libby's, and that was frequently visited by everybody. To like a little corner store, people going to buy, and we used to call it Miss Libby. And the establishment now has a couple of ladies, especially those who are working, would stop by and get sandwiches to go, you know, ready to date autumn for breakfast time or lunchtime. And so that's like a landmark. I guess that would be one of our smaller businesses in the area that's still thriving.
Who were some strong community leaders, and what role did they play?
Oh, one that really sticks out in my mind is Reverend W.N. Hunter, who was my pastor coming up at the Jerusalem Baptist Church. He was somewhat, as you could say, everybody's pastor, because he knew everybody, and he would frequently visit the hospitals, and everybody would know he'd been there. But one of the main things I remember him being the spearhead of getting Hurd Park School in the area. He hasn't, and did not, and still hasn't gotten the recognition that he should have. But him and a few other members of the church and in the community saw the need to have the school built in our area. I wish at some point they would name the school after him, because you know, they were the people that went before the school board to make sure, you know, we had one school. But I think his family was told, because he wasn't deceased at the time, they couldn't name it. So, you know, of course he's deceased now, but you know, I guess it would take a lot of red tape or whatever to get it done. But that's who stuck out. Sticks out in my mind as a community leader, because we've had several leaders in the area. Our first principal was Ms. Beulah Caldwell, and our first secretary was Dorothy Davis. So the you know coming up as a child, you know, these were like our icons that I can remember being in the community. Of course, I said like Miss Libby, she owned the store. People, you know, that we frequently came in contact with, cause our neighbors, as I said earlier, in the, that they were the type of people that looked after one another. So they were like icons of the community because they show concern for each other's children, which is sort of rare nowadays. So that's why I said we couldn't get away with nothing because they would call and say, I saw Jimmy at so and so place, or you know, do you know that, is he supposed to be at home? You know, so they would tell on us as we talk about several times.
Who were your role models?
My parents, my grandparents, other people, you know, but they were my first role models because they're the ones that set took the time to share values and morals with me. Of course, my music teacher, I definitely want to give her, as the young people say, props. She's a lady that taught me everything I know. Her name was Nettie Woodson, and she was also the organist for the Jerusalem Baptist Church. And she taught practically everybody in the Hurst Park area, as well as other areas. But she took the time to teach me how to read music and how to play it. So I give her credit for that, for what I know now today. My grandparents, they were there for things that if my parents couldn't come through with things, and they taught me, you know, how to save, how to help others and be concerned about, you know, because my parents are working, you know, so they had the time to, you know, to do these things.
Do you remember the closing of the silk mills?
Somewhat. By the fact, one of my uncles used to work there. As I said, when he came from North Carolina, he worked there and until they did close. And then he started working somewhere else. By the fact, that was like, the building was across the street from where he lived. The building's still standing on Salem Avenue, but he lived on 12 and a half Street in the Hurst Park area. And they made fire engines for different areas. I know there's a little place they made a fire engine for a place in Carolina. So you know, he did that until he retired.
What jobs were available for men and women in Roanoke when you were growing up?
Norfolk and Western Railroad, the VA Hospital, General Electric. In my time, there was a lot of domestic work. My mom, at some point, my grandmother, when they first moved here, and aunts and cousins, and they, you know, they worked in homes, did housework, they cooked, babysit, things like that. So the women did that, and the men did the major jobs. I'm trying to think of something else, but those are the main ones I remember as a child, because they were involved.
Is there anything else that we didn't cover that you would like to share with us?
Oh, trying to see. I just mind going back. I remember even in before going to high school, it was about from the time I lived in the 1800 block of Salem Avenue. And of course, there were some kids in the 1900 block. But by the time we started out for school and we got to Jefferson, which was, it's on, like I said, the buildings there on Campbell Avenue, that had to be about, oh gosh, 20 blocks or more. By the time we got to Jefferson, it was about 45 kids. So we were just, you know, that was something we would just, you know, we would start out and pick up somebody else bigger than them. We have all kinds of conversation, laughing and talking. And that was an enjoyable time. And then same thing, we would, when school was out, we'd come home, it'd be that many children until we, you know, until we got to our various destinations. I do remember when we got our first car. It was an old Chevrolet. I think I do have a picture of that. And back then, we didn't have sidewalks. We just had like a little gravel area in front of the house. Of course, we do, you know, they install sidewalks now. Well, I think back in the 90s. Our house, back in the 60s, yeah, mid 60s, we were in Illinois for our family reunion, and somehow my cousin told my dad about aluminum siding, because I didn't know what it was, but they installed that on our house, and that was like a big thing, you know, back then. So, of course, they're doing vinyl now, but aluminum siding was used to cover our house. And I'm just trying to think. I got my first car when I learned how to drive. I was 18 years old, old Chevrolet. So that's one of my fondest memories. I guess my dad was causing me getting my driver's license. I didn't want to drive. I enjoy walking, you know, kids do stuff like that. But he made me go up there, and I got my driver's license. So, and I've been driving ever since. I think that's about it. Okay.
Thank you for participating.
Thank you.